Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mahavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Anjalila, Chapter 11, The Passing of Haridas Thakur. Verses 45 to 108. 311, 45 to 101. The next morning, after visiting the Jagannath Temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by all his devotees, went hastily to see Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees came before Haridas Thakur, who offered his respects to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, "My dear Haridas, what is the news?" Haridas Thakur replied, "My Lord, whatever mercy you can bestow upon me." Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began great congregational chanting in the courtyard. Vakreshwara Pandit was the chief dancer. Headed by Srup Damodar Goswami, all the devotees of... to change the page, and so I opened this up, and I thought, am I just going to bump into here, or am I going to get... Okay. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrounded Haridas Thakur and began congregational chanting. In front of all the great devotees like Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. As he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to possess five mouths. The more he described, the more his great happiness increased. After hearing the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur, all the devotees present were struck with wonder. They all offered their respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him, and then he fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus feet of the Lord, lotus face of the Lord. He held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart, then took the dust of the feet of all the Vaishnavas present and put it on his head. He began to chant the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya again and again. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears constantly glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave up his air of life and left his body. Seeing the wonderful death of Haridas Thakur by his own will, which was just like a great mystic yogi's, everyone remembered the passing away of Bhishma. There was a tumultuous noise as they all chanted the holy names Hari and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. The Lord raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his lap. Then he began to dance in the courtyard in great ecstatic love. Because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, all the devotees were helpless. And in ecstatic love, they also began to dance and chant congregationally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced for some time. And then Srup Damodar Goswami informed him of other rituals for the body of Haridas Thakur. The body of Haridas Thakur was then raised onto a carrier that resembled an airship and taken to the sea accompanied by congregational chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of the procession, and Vakrishra Pandit, along with the other devotees, chanted and danced behind him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea and then declared, from this day on, the sea has become a great pilgrimage site. Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, and then they smeared remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp over Haridas Thakur's body. After a hole was dug in the sand and the body of Haridas Thakur was placed into it, remnants from Lord Jagannath, such as his silken robe, sandalwood pulp, food, and cloth, were placed on the body. All around the body, the devotees performed congregational chanting, and Vakrishra Pandit danced in jubilation. With his transcendental hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand, chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. The devotees covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand and then constructed a platform upon the site. The platform was protected all around by fencing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted all around the platform. And as the holy name of Hari roared tumultuously, the whole universe became filled with the vibration. After Sankirtana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in the sea with his devotees, swimming and playing in the water in great jubilation. After circumambulating the tomb of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Simha Dwaraka of the Jagannath Temple. The whole city chanted in congregation, and the tumultuous sound vibrated all over the city. Approaching the Simhadwara gate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread his cloth and began to beg prasadam from all the shopkeepers there. I am begging prasadam for a festival honoring the passing away of Haridas Thakur, the Lord says. Please give me alms. Hearing this, all the shopkeepers immediately came forward with big baskets of prasadam, which they jubilantly delivered to Lord Chaitanya. However, Sukhdamadar stopped them, and the shopkeepers returned to their shops and sat down with their baskets. Sukhdamadar sent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to his residence and kept with him four Vaishnavas and four servant carriers. Sukhdamadar said to all the shopkeepers, deliver to me four palmfuls of prasadam from each and every item. In this way, varieties of prasadam were collected, then packed up in different loads and carried on the heads of the four servants. Not only did Sukhdamadar Goswami bring prasadam, but Vaninath Patanayaka and Kashi Mishra also sent large quantities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made all the devotees sit in rows and personally began to distribute the prasadam, assisted by four other men. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not accustomed to taking prasadam in small quantities. He therefore put on each plate what at least five men could eat. Sukhdamadar Goswami requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please sit down and watch. With these men to help me, I shall distribute the prasadam. Four men, Sukhdamadar, Jagannanda, Kashishwar, and Shankara, distributed the prasadam continuously. All the devotees who sat down would not eat the prasadam as long as the Lord had not eaten. On that day, however, Kashi Mishra had extended an invitation to the Lord. Therefore, Kashi Mishra personally went there and delivered prasadam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great attention and made him eat. With Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and accepted the prasadam. When he began to eat, so did all the Vaishnavas. Everyone was filled up to the neck, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept telling the distributors, give them more, give them more. After all the devotees finished accepting prasadam and had washed their mouths and hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decorated each of them with a flower garland and sandalwood pulp. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered a benediction to all the devotees, which all the devotees heard with great satisfaction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this benediction. Anyone who has seen the festival of Sri Haridas Thakur's passing away, anyone who has chanted and danced here, anyone who has offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakur, and anyone who has joined this festival to partake of the prasada will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. There is such wonderful power in seeing Haridas Thakur. Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Being independent in his desires, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakur could give up his life and go away. Exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desire, as we have heard from Shastra. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, the world is now bereft of its valuable jewel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, "Say, all glories to Haridas Thakur, and chant the holy name of Hari." Saying this, he personally began to dance. Everyone began to chant, "All glories to Haridas Thakur," who revealed the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the devotees, and he himself, with mixed feelings of happiness and distress, took rest. Thus I have spoken about the victorious passing away of Haridas Thakur. Anyone who hears this narration will certainly fix his mind firmly in devotional service to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. At Purushottama Kshetra, or Jagannath Puri, there's a temple of Tota Gopinath. If one goes there, from there to the sea, he can discover the tomb of Haridas Thakur still existing. Every year, on the date of Ananta Chaturdasi, there's a festival to commemorate the passing away of Haridas Thakur. At the same place, deities of Nityananda Prabhu, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Advaita Prabhu were established about 100 years ago. A gentleman named Brahma Ravara from Kendrapada in the province of Orissa contributed funds to establish those deities in the temple. The management of the temple was under the Tota Gopinath Goswamis. This temple was later sold to someone else, and this party is now maintaining the Seva Puja of the temple. Near this temple in the tomb of Haridas Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur constructed a small house called Bhajan Kutir. In the Bengali year 1329 AD, 1922, the Purushottama Mat, a branch of the Gaudi Mat, was established there. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, it is stated, Srinivasa Thakur quickly ran to the seashore. When he saw the tomb of Haridas Thakur, he immediately fell down offering prayers and almost fainted. The devotees present there pacified him with very sweet and affectionate words. And Srivas again offered his obeisances to the tomb. Hearing of the separation that Srinivas expressed in his lamentation of the tomb of Haridas Thakur makes one's heart melt. 311, 102-105. From the incident of Haridas Thakur's passing away and the great care Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took in commemorating it, one can understand just how affectionate he is towards his devotees. Although he is the topmost of all sannyasis, he fully satisfied the desire of Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur was at the last stage of his life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his company and allowed him to touch him. Thereafter, he took the body of Haridas Thakur in his lap and personally danced with it. Out of his causeless mercy, the Lord personally covered the body of Haridas Thakur with sand and personally begged alms from the shopkeepers. Then he conducted a great festival to celebrate the passing away of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was not only the topmost devotee of the Lord, but also a great and learned scholar. It was his great fortune that he passed away before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Haridas Thakur is mentioned here as the most learned scholar, Parama Vidvan. Actually, the most important science is to know the science of getting out of the clutches of material existence. Anyone who knows this science must be considered the greatest learned person. Anyone who knows the temporary situation in this material world and is expert in achieving a permanent spiritual situation in the spiritual world, who knows that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond the jurisdiction of our experimental knowledge, is understood to be the most learned scholar. Haridas Thakur knew this science perfectly. Therefore, he is described in this connection as Parama Vidvan. He personally preached the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is approved by the revealed scriptures, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.24. Iti pum sarpita vishnau bhaktis chen nava lakshana kriyeta bhagavat yadha tan manye dhitam uttamam. There are 9 different processes of devotional service to Krishna. The most important being Shravana, Kirtana, hearing and chanting. Haridas Thakur knew this science very well, and he can therefore be called technically Sarva Shastra Aditi. Anyone who has learned the essence of all the Vedic scriptures can be known as a first-class educated person with full knowledge of all Shastra. That's a very nice quote to use. 3:11, 106-108. The life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are exactly like an ocean of nectar, one drop of which can please the mind and ear. Anyone desires to cross over the ocean of nescience, please hear with great faith the life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghuna, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. Unless one has come to the platform of spontaneous love of God, he must follow the regulative principles. Thakur Haridas was the living example of how to follow the regulative principles. Or purport. Because the spontaneous platform, that's the natural platform for the living entity. To have that natural love for the Lord. But because due to polluted consciousness, then the soul gets covered by the gross and subtle bodies, and so then this becomes very minimal and distorted and very small, the amount of, you know, affection and attraction and all that can be expressed. So here it's saying he must follow the regular principles, because the regular principles will purify one of the conditioning of the gross and subtle body. Then coming to the natural purified state, that natural love for Krishna is awakened, and then that attraction for Krishna then moves forward in its natural path. So there's no such thing as practicing for Raghunuga sadhana that's different from Vaidhi sadhana. It means people make these things up because it makes them feel good, it makes them feel more advanced. But in actuality, the process is being steady in devotional service with no attachment for material desire, and not thinking that anything else has any value other than its use in serving and pleasing Krishna. That stable position, then one with that desire to attain to prema bhakti, then that moves on forward, and that will actually bring you to the platform of spontaneous devotional service. There isn't another process. Yeah. So then here is by pointing out Haridas Thakur was a living example of how to follow the regular principles. So he very nicely showed how, in a very simple way, then one could always say, follow these things. By following them, then we see, you know, what results can be gained. So that's yes.
We see here, even in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the day he is a perfect sadhaka. Mm-hmm. And sometimes during festivals he gets into, you know, special moods. Mm-hmm. and also during the night, always his closest associates, mm-hmm. then he experiences, you know, certain emotional stages, yes. Of bhavas and like that.
Yes.
So can we say that how love is expressed between devotee and the Lord, it has, you know, different forms. And one form is like Mahaprabhu going to Sri Mandir, he performs his duties and following all the rules and regulations. And then the another form of his, it's the same practice basically, takes, you know, hearing Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, festivals, satsanga, and, you know, the five main. So would it be correct definition?
Yes, you have to be a little careful with the aspect of different form, because everyone's looking for that special form, that little trick, that loophole, that what's going to give that immediate results that no one else knows about, and all those kind of things. Yeah, the shortcut. So it's one process. It's just that if you're with the devotees, because the three features are there. Because, you know, we'll emphasize on, you know, in this context, on the aspect of night when he's spending time with his associates and remembering Krishna. But that's tasting that love.
Yeah.
But he also came, for three purposes. For the attraction, you know, for the, you know, the interaction with the Vaishnavas, and then for this taste.
Yeah.
You know. So those three, so when you manifest, they're all the same element. It's the feature of Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath.
Yeah.
So in that aspect of Madan Mohan, then you see the Sankirtan, all these different aspects like that, the big festivals and these things. The Govinda will be that nice interaction, or like this pastime with Haridas Thakur and things like that. And then Gopinath will be that aspect there. So one has to keep in mind that it's always Krishna's tasting the mood of Radharani, and this is what she would be doing. Because you see, she's not just always rolling on the ground in ecstasy and not paying any attention to anybody. She's interacting, she's dealing with Mother Yashoda, she's cooking for Krishna, she's spending it in the evening, kind of like she has her court, and everybody's there, and they discuss and talk all kinds of nice things. You know, and then they go out in the evening.
Yeah.
You know, so all these different features are there. You could say features. I wouldn't so much say forms. Because the form means it'll tend to be seen in an external kind of aspect, and then it's kind of like external. I can relate to external, you know, and so therefore it's accessible to me. But point is all this is accessible if the heart is pure, because it's not some tricks. It's just a matter of when the heart's clean. Prabhupada says the mirror is dirty. You clean it, then you can see yourself. You know, so you can't see yourself in the mirror, but make believe, oh, I look like this, or I look like, why don't you just clean the mirror? You can see, you know. So that aspect is very nice. So this here is, he must follow, you know, and this is in Antyalila, and this is in the passing of Haridas Thakur. So it's you know, we can't say is, oh, well, that's just for the preaching, he's doing that, but actually there's this. No, this is, that's the point, is because otherwise, until the heart is pure, that rati won't manifest. We've covered that rati by not seeing things connected to Krishna. It's about ourselves. So even if we make it about Krishna, is it about Krishna himself as a person, or it's about the benefits all get as an individual? You know, the ecstasy I'll feel, and I'll be free from all material entanglement, and, you know, so, in other words, they're just talking about the Vaishnava liberation. So that's why, that's what's unique about Brajabhakti. So that level is fine. It is about Krishna, and you do have the aspect, it's pure devotion. So even the seeming benefits that you're looking for, they're all in connection with the Lord, they're all spiritual. Right? But there's situations in which you see the benefit I'll get. Well, you see, the Braja Bhakti then means it's free of that. It's not about what they're going to get. And so it's about Krishna. When you're focused on Krishna, that's where it becomes spontaneous. Well, as long as you're thinking of the benefits I'll get, then the sadhana has to be performed. The regular principles have to be performed to purify us, to bring us to that platform. And the regular principles we're following, these are very, very simple. You know, they're straightforward. They're things that very easily match and support the five main items of devotional service. You know, and so it's already been the mango already. There is no seed. There is no skin. We just have to taste it. You know, but we're worried. What about all the fructose? And is that good for you? And, you know, actually, you know, that kind of jazz. You know, so that it should be that we're committed to apply ourselves to that process given by the acharyas. Because we saw this morning when we were talking, Jiva Goswami is mentioning on the quoting from Jaimini, then you're using scriptural differences there because they're talking about what homa is to do. If you want to do this homa for that, do that homa and all that. And those homas are, you know, how much detail is there? It means where you keep the spoon, what you keep the spoon. We just take the spoon and stick it on the table or stick it on the mat. That big spoon is supposed to be on a wooden fish. You know, and each thing has its thing, where it goes, what it's used for. This one's used for this offering. That one's used for that. In Vrindavan, Yagyik Brahman's house. And he had a room that was basically about the size of this, where he had his kunda. The whole thing was filled up with paraphernalia. I don't mean junk. I mean different sizes of spoons, different kinds of spoons, shapes of spoons, all different kinds of things that, depending upon the yogi, he had to use this one or that one. Some of the spoons, there was one spoon that was like, the bowl was like about that big, about like that. It was a huge thing. It was really short, so I don't know how they hold it. I don't know, but it could be that they hold it, someone else pours, that kind of thing, and all variety of things. And you have this standard, what we have, the Shruka Shruva, that's the main one. But depending upon which of the Karmakanda Yagya is you're doing, it goes out from there. So, you know, we're taking it that what the acharyas have given us, that this is rules and regulations, you're supposed to give up, you know, we're just supposed to be absorbed in devotion. No, they've already done that for us, because we wouldn't know. So they've already done that. And so then what they've given us is very, very nice, and by following that, then it goes very, very well. So that's the thing, we don't have to worry. We just surrender to the Lord, He's taking care, we associate with the Vaishnavas, keep ourselves busy, and, you know, go back to Godhead.
That sounds very good.
Yeah. Yes.
So, another point which is not.
Yeah, the guy says, "Why are you here? I had my hands up."
Another point is that Sometimes devotees can't really define properly spontaneous. And they say, okay, spontaneous is what we practice, is what Mahaprabhu gave us. Mm-hmm. It wasn't given before, but then we see description of service performed in other realms. Say, for example, Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
It is spontaneous, means it's natural for those who are in that relationship with that deity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they do it naturally. It's not because of the rules, it's because they have affection to that specific form.
Mm-hmm.
So, what would be the... You already explained it previously, that it's completely 100% for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, what can we say more about spontaneous in terms of Braja Bhakti?
Spontaneous, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur then gives the definition that there's an attraction when you come in contact with the how you say, the focus, you know, of the what do you call it, the aspect, that alambana aspect, then when you come in contact with Krishna or anything connected with Krishna, you know, it would be Udipana. Mm-hmm. There's no intellectualizing at all on it. Mm-hmm. It's just an immediate attraction. So it's not dependent upon the intelligence. So that's how when you hear people talking about do this or do that, it's all intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we have to, you know, if we want to develop that, well, we always have to associate with that, therefore, you know, like you want to become a jazz musician, you have to hang out and listen to jazz music and how they do and what they do and, you know, how dark are their sunglasses, you know, even though the lights are, it's at night and the lights are very low, you know, that kind of stuff, you'll pick that up by that association. So they think that this is what you have to do here. But no, it's a matter of, if it's spontaneous, it means when the heart's clean, that's what's going to be there. Right? You have the association, but we're hearing here these things. It's not that we have to go out now and take some sand and throw it or do something like that. It's a matter of we're hearing these things and the heart, it becomes pure. It naturally gets attracted by that. That's the spontaneity. But you see from the you know, the Goswamis and the Sahajiyas and that, they make it into a ritual and claim it's rag. But it's not, because it's all intellectual. I say, oh no, but you're reading that, and if you read that, you won't get this. And that. But where does it say that? And even if it does, that's, you're quoting scripture. That's Vaidhi. So they'll quote scripture to say that this, you have to do this, you know, and that's spontaneous. But that doesn't make any sense. That's against it. Vaidhi means it's according to the rules. Spontaneous means It's just that natural attraction, right? But it's about Krishna and that attraction and all. So you want one, and in that, then you learn how to express that nicely. So in Vaikuntha, they want to express it through that they're naturally attracted to his feature as God, and that's expressed through that majesty. You know. So it's not that there that doesn't have, but it's not, you wouldn't call it, it's not defined as spontaneous devotional service, because it's always expressed through the rules, so it follows that form. Well, then Braja Bhakti means it just follows the form of what's going to be the nicest for pleasing Krishna. Now you could say, oh, then I can do whatever I want, but then how is that following in the footsteps? You're saying, oh, they do it, they just have that spontaneous, so I'll have that spontaneous. That's imitating. We follow in the footsteps. That means, what do they do? That's what we would do. But we're not replacing them. We would assist them. And so that means that we're assisting them. We just follow what they do. That's why then you remember what services those devotees rendered. And you're appreciating that, and then if you have that opportunity, you can assist. But the point being is that spontaneity is coming because the heart is purified to the point where it can manifest like that. You know, it's just like, let's say we're cooking rice, and you have to follow the rule. You know, how much water, how much time, how much heat, how much like that. But we're thinking, no, there's some quick way to do this. No, you just follow it, it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, therefore one doesn't have to worry about it. That's why it says, unless one has come to that platform, you have to follow the regular principles. It's not that, no, but I want that, then follow the regular principles. Follow the regular principles. You're thinking, no, I'll just do it. No, you can't just do it. You're either already doing it, or you follow the regular principles, that will bring you there. So that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur then defines that if you, it means the earliest one can get something where it means have that kind of, that flavor starting, is just at nishta, because one has no material desire. no faith in material things. It means there was some remnants there, but his determination is there's nothing material that can make me happy. There's no process other than, you know, chanting in the association of devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, worshiping the deity, and living in a place of pilgrimage. That will bring the solution, the result. But as long as you think that, oh no, but if we do this, or if ever we're nice and all that, then people will like us, and then as long as those things are there, where's the question of this? So it says after anartha nivriti. Rupa Goswami makes that very clear. But people want to start it, you know, right when they begin. It's after anartha nivriti. And when he's defining it, you see the definition is giving that. He means anartha nivriti means you're not performing the activities in your material body, you're doing the spiritual body. So you're actually on the uttam platform. That's the natural position of spontaneous devotional service. There may be a glimmer of it here, but it's, what are you going to do? Other than you're very inspired to serve Krishna, how are you going to do that? Through the directions of what's given by the acharyas and your authorities. So externally, it's going to look the same. And Rupa Goswami gives that example. Right? So that's the thing, is that someone who actually is on that platform, they look just like a very nicely situated Vaidhi Sadhaka. And if they're posing that, oh yeah, I'm advanced, I don't worry like that, they're not. It's that simple. You know what I'm saying? You know, because the example is, the wife, if she has a paramour, she does her duties even better, so no one notices. But if she's just more flippant and doesn't care and doesn't do her things because, you know, she's got something else going on, how long do you think it'll take before they figure it out? You know what I'm saying? So the acharyas give the direction. So if it hasn't developed in the manyana stage, which it doesn't have to, but if it started to develop, nice, but how much can you manifest? It wouldn't be seen anyway. But it will be nicely manifest on the Uttama platform, because in the spiritual form you're doing service with the Brajbasi. So what's the problem? So this thing, no, you have to get it. No, you have to purify, you have to be qualified. You know, that's the thing. So and it's Krishna's system. And he says this, you know, dasana, dasana, das. Therefore, we're following. Lord Chaitanya gave this to Rupa Goswami. He gave it, you know, down the line. We're getting it from Srila Prabhupada's giving that direction, and we're picking it up from the Vaishnavas who are following Srila Prabhupada. And so that way, that's how we're serving. This idea we're going to do something else, or we got some other plans, or like that, no, it won't work. You know, how will you be taken seriously? You know what I'm saying? Means you can. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's serious, but it's very straightforward and very simple. It's just we just have to accept the definitions that are given. But what's the problem? It means I'm not the controller, I'm not the enjoyer, it's not about me, it's not about my specifically about my benefits. It means it's there, the benefits you'll get are unlimited, but it's about pleasing Krishna. When that's your focus, everything else comes along as secondary. You know, you serve the king, you know, why is it Uddhava, you know, he looks like Krishna, dresses like Krishna, has all, you know, all the remnant, what Krishna eats, he eats, with garlands he gets, the same, like that, but he's just focused on serving Krishna. You know, so Prabhupada gives that example. You serve the king, then you live in the palace. But you're focused on, you know, your service in the palace. You're not thinking, wow, I'm in the palace, isn't this great, and this and that. Then that wouldn't be a proper. Yeah.
You read that Haridas Thakur was a great example because manifest Lord Chaitanya also follow rules very strictly, and so did his followers, who we assume were on the topmost platform of pure devotional service. And we know that even though they were on the highest spontaneous platform, they had to follow rules. They had to follow etiquette, they had to follow behavior, rituals, sadhana. How does it work in their consciousness? Is there some sort of yoga maya that covers them so they can act as if, oh, I've got a chatmamaraj, or I've got to go to the temple? Or is it that the sadhana and the rules go on automatically? They don't even notice it. They just go with the motions. And on the side, you know, they're on the highest platform.
Yeah. Here, let us just look at one, just little example. Okay, let us say you are trying to, someone wants to know, okay, how do I don't know, someone has a problem, I don't know how to discuss and express myself to some other people. Could you teach me that? You know? And they're saying, you know, I'm trying to make a point and I'm trying to get it across. You know, so what tools in that to do that? You know, so then, you know, in your, how you say, your wisdom and maturity, then you will be telling them about, you know, you're going to have the words you use, you're going to have the tones and emphasis, you're going to have the hands and stuff like that. And so then you're there, you're trying to, you know, say the guy's going, what are you going to do with your hand? You're going to go like this, right? You know, he's coming. So I'm explaining to him, that's a regulative principle, it's Vaidhi. You want to explain something, go, you do that, like that. Yeah, he's going, you know, or he's coming. You know, or again and again, you know, you do those things, right? So, now, this is the whole point. For the person who doesn't know it's not natural, it's Vaidhi. For the person who it is natural, it's just the natural support for expressing their prema.
No, they already know.
Means that's just, Krishna's arranged that that's what you do. That's why this bhava has these symptoms. So, that it has all that, that's all, for us, that would be Vaidhi. You know, sahaja, do they just do anything? No, they have to follow ones that are in there. They have to cry, they have to roll on the ground, they have to do these things and, you know, stuff like that. They're not just doing anything. You know what I'm saying? So they try to follow like that. So the whole point is what the Braj Basis do naturally in the expression of their love for Krishna becomes formalized in Vaikuntha. And becomes rules and regulations here. So, when you purify the heart, you can get back to that original position. But if you don't purify your heart, then you're saying, oh, but it's not about the rules, so then how are you going to explain? How are you going to do? What are you going to do with your hands? Oh, we don't do any of the Vaidhi, you know, we just stand, we just talk, we don't get into all that, you know, mundane emotions and everything like that. You know, it's just, that's why they're so strange. And that's why then Prabhupada was so heavy about it. Because the point is it's natural. You don't have to explain. You don't, it's just like Kunti Devi's prayers. You don't have to explain to the teenage boys and girls about how to be attracted to each other. Is there like a rule book someone has goes to school that, you know, you put the note in the shoe? Is that taught or what? They just figure it out. It means, is it taught that you don't ask yourself, you send one of your friends? You know, is it taught that, you know, you stay over away out of the way and all that so you can actually stare? Because if you're in the front, it's obvious. But if you're in the back and there's so many people, you're looking that way, no one knows what you're looking at. These things happen spontaneously. So that's what it's meant. But this is material, Rob. So on the spiritual platform, it's the same way. And you go anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Teenagers are going to do these things. That's just what they're going to do. There might be some little flavor, this and that. You know, the shoes are different. You know, does that make sense? You know, so it's like normally you put it in the shoe like that. But if you have peg shoes, you got to put it under the shoe. So when they pick up the foot, what's that? You know. No shoes, then you got a problem. That's why they should wear shoes, right? this is what Krishna does, and so everything that expands from him has these inherent potencies within them. They just become distorted and very weak here in the material world, but you purify that, it comes back to its natural position. So it's very straightforward, the devotional process. One just has to commit to it. But we'll always say, oh no, it's this, or no, it's that, or so many things, but it's not. These external, in the beginning, the vaidhi then becomes a major aspect. But once it comes to the platform of advancing a devotional service, they just find the ones that are useful just behind their natural assistance to the process. You know, like in the beginning, you're learning to cook. It's a big thing, the pot and this, and you know, go to dry. Oh, no, I got to get the rag. Got to get this and that, and things the heat. And it's all. It's very. You're so overwhelmed by the techniques and all that that you know you may not cook so well. But someone who's very good, these things just happen natural. You want to do this, you use this kitchen utensil. You want to do that, you use a different one.
Would you say that a Mahabhagavat behaving on Bhajan platform, you would not pick up on it that they are Mahabhagavat?
No.
Right.
Other than you notice that the influence they have on people is so amazing, but as far as what they're doing, it's not going to be any different.
Except for some occasional eruption.
That's there, that kind of things. But you can just see by the consistency of it, the effect that is there, the commitment to those kind of things.
Well, the result of their preaching.
Yeah, like these kind of things. You can tell by like that kind of aspect. Because it's said, unless someone's empowered by Lord Chaitanya, they can't preach. So there, you'd see, I can't remember who said it, but one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, so then he pointed out, you know, after, you know, so many years of seeing what's happening and everything, he said he's the Shakti Vaishnavatar. He's been empowered by Krishna. Sridhar said that, yeah. And Prabhupada said he could, you know, was qualified to write purports. So that means he could function on that platform. He's not a, you know, but you see the effect. It means he had a place that the Bhaktivedanta, what was it called? Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust had to finish his Nath Mandir. He could never do it in his lifetime. You know, because he was a scholar, he was a sadhu, like that, good sadhaka, like that, good preacher. But you know, as far as management and collection and that, you know, not at all. So he had that simple temple with a simple thing that completely unfinished. Structure is there, but no finishing, no marble.
You probably finished it for him.
Means the charity trust did.
Charity trust did.
Because Prabhupada left whatever was in his accounts and all that, you know, that he was using for different projects, then he put it into the Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust.
One time, like Kishore Maharaj was reading Bhagavatam class here, and at the end of the class, one devotee asked, how do you recognize someone who has attended pure platform of devotional service? And Maharaj says, they open many temples, they make lots of devotees, and they distribute many books. Everybody
went, whoa.
Yeah. So
he said, they don't
just, you know.
Yeah. Because the thing is that won't be seen anyway. Because even there, when we started the conversation, Lord Chaitanya, except for Sri Dhamana Ramana Dharai, who's going to see those things?
Mm.
you know, unless Lord Chaitanya gets out, and then you might have more devotees going around. But you know, it's but otherwise, that's not, because the devotee, he actually feels, when the prayers of the acharyas, they actually feel like that. They're not thinking, you know, they're not putting that on. Because they just think, I'm servant and servant and servant. I'm not actually a good servant. Someone else is a good servant.
Like no one does that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear. I'm trying to work this out.
Yeah. So, because we just have to be careful, because we tend to, you know, get distracted by this or that, but what they've said in these main verses, that's the path. You just follow that, it works. It means you have so many things you can get distracted by, but that's why it also says you take shelter of the Lord as you serve the Krishna, he reciprocates. You know, so I think it's in the, one of the purports, Nityapada Kamala. And it's mentioning in there that it means without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you're not going to get the service of Radha and Krishna. Because by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you're freed from all material interest. That's by his mercy. And so, how will you be absorbed in Radha Krishna's pastimes if you're absorbed in mundane stuff? You know, it's one or the other. I mean, so, you know, the CPU can only do so much. Yeah. So that's the whole point. It's mentioned there. It's simple Bengali, simple poems. So this is the strategy. You know, this is you apply this in your life, and this is then what makes things work. And then the slight detail of all that, how you hold your beads, what your bead bag looks like, how many beads. These are all the mechanical things that are done on the technical, the lowest level. You know? So if we take the trappings of the highest level and then think I'm on a higher level, no, this is still the lowest level of the thing. The highest is that spontaneous love for Krishna. So therefore, we follow what was given to us. So you see, those early devotees in the 60s, they just dress in unsewn cloth and this, and wearing turbans and uttariyas and their dhotis and, you know, the ladies in the saris and all these kind of things, and playing. They look like straight out of, you know, Vrindavan, like that, you know. And then some will say is that, you know, the devotees introduced this. It's kind of like, where would those hippies get that idea from? Mm-hmm. You know? Like that. So the path has been shown. The path is illuminated. We just have to stick to the path, and all the difficulties that may come up on that path are also addressed by the acharyas on how to cross over something.
Transpass.
Yeah, something. You get over all these things.
Cross over.
Yeah, cross over. That's the easy one. So that is then given, and we just have to follow. These other things, if they're useful in making that happen, great. But if we ever think that these other things are going to make that happen, then that means we're not on the platform of, in that aspect, our realization is not on the platform of Nishtha. It's still in, you know, below that. Because we think this will make it happen. No, devotional service happens. These things can be engaged. You know, it's not pots and pans make cooking. Cooks make cooking happen. And then the nice pots, you use them nicely. But, you know, you give me, how you say, open a tin, one of those big tins of tomato puree like that. You know, you take the top off, you can use that as your pot. Get a few bricks and stuff like that, build a fire, how you bow. Huh?
The 1 kilo tomato paste.
Yeah. First you have to cook it down because there's no space in the pot. When it's cooked down, then you can put stuff inside. You know, the point is you know, cooking, you can make it happen, whatever is there. So there is more traditional, more ideal kind of things. And the traditional is there because tradition is there because it works. Like that. People may not know the tradition, can't explain it, so that's why then if we don't can't relate to it, we'll say it's not practical. And for us, at that moment, yes, maybe it's not practical due to our impurity. But we have to remember that traditions are based on the reality that people who are purified do these. Like you say, oh, that's 100 years ago. People were a lot more pure 100 years ago. You know? The lifestyle, and that you look at it, you can say, oh, well, they could do that then. Now we can't do all that stuff. That means you're less pure. So that means those things they did are more closer towards a pure position. And especially if it's in line with Shastra and Prabhupada talks about it and we see it in the pastimes, then you know that, yeah, this is what you're going to be doing. Because if you don't like these things, why would you want to go back to Godhead? Because you're going to be doing those things. You know? It's going to be happening there, you know? They are going to be making cow dung patties. They are going to be sweeping. You know? And they are going to be cooking. Yes, so you better get used to it. You know, it's the same. Otherwise, you don't like it. You won't like going there. You know?
This morning, I was speaking to flowers for my puja. I was thinking, some people do this for eternity.
Yeah.
They do nothing else. They just pick flowers every day.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Do you
ever
pick
flowers?
You ready for that?
I was there. I was asking you.
Yeah, but they're thinking of Krishna while they do it. How to decorate here, this flower can go here.
You have the flowers, and you're thinking, Krishna's going to see those flowers. I'll get to see Krishna even if I give it to someone else.
Yeah, you'll see Krishna wearing them.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point. Someone's picked them, someone's delivered them, someone else has done some of the garland, you've done the garland, someone else has added something to it, someone else has done offering at the right time. Yeah. So it'll comes nice, so everybody in the chain is happy because Krishna is pleased. It's not because, oh, I did that, you know. You don't. Yeah.
Now, Maharaj, just a small detail. Where the samadhi is today in Puri, just on the side of the road. Is that the actual spot where Haridas Thakur was
born? Then I know it is. It's the real spot. Yeah. Because the point is all those things have been built there before.
Yeah,
means you have that main road.
Yes.
From there, it's like any big beach. You have that road, and then it goes down, and it's just sand all the way to the ocean. And so some places, that's really, really big. So in Puri, it just happens to be very big.
Yes, that was the beach before.
Yeah, so you had, and it said Totu Gopinath, because that's on a hill of sand.
Yes.
You know, so that would be there, then going down there, then the sea.
Yeah, across the road is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then up the road is Gaudiya.
Yeah, so before, all those inside roads weren't there. The one where you come from the station, and you come down, and then, you know, if you're going towards that side, it comes and it curves, you know, right at the beach, and it just keeps going straight, and then there's all the shops and this and that. But it comes at some points, it's close to the beach, and it just keeps going. That would have been like your natural, that's where the edge of the land and the sand, you know. So that was within the sand.
And of course, I'm not sure what we know, but the body of a Hastaka was just put in the sand, just covered with sand.
Yeah, because normally the sannyasis are next to a river or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Then they're buried in there. So that may be sand, or it's going to be that kind of silt, right, or that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, it's not, you know, you're not out there with a jackhammer getting through the bedrock and everything like that.
No, because, you know, we call this salt.
That sand will work. It means these are the additional things to put. But it doesn't mean that he didn't put the sand, that salt, but even if they didn't, it's still the effect is there.
And in that samadhi, they chant the Tagore Vishnu.
You notice that he did say that it was with those Goswamis that at some point they sold it. And then this temple was later sold to someone else, and this party is now maintaining the Seva Puja of the temple. That's all that's mentioned.
But in another book, the Prabhupada does mention, he's openly critical.
But
some people chant Nita Gaurisham.
No, that's there, but I'm saying because we're discussing Haridas Thakur,
yes.
You don't want to get distracted by that. It's just that it's there, it was there, and then it came under the Goswami's there, then they somehow or another sold it to this other, some other group, and that's so that you know that it's some other group.
I was reading some time back that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati discovered what they were chanting, he got so furious. Hmm. That he wanted to challenge them, and he was going to create, a war. Mm. And that's what triggered Bhaktivinoda Thakur telling him, go to Mayapur and do Nam Bhajan. Not stay here.
Mm. Yeah, because you have to also create a mission that you can... in other words, you go to war with them, but the point is they want to be cheated, they're cheated. And one or two you might catch and like that, but it's not necessarily the system, because people like the system because it works for them. And so then better you go and create what is should be done, and have people follow that. Then if there's anybody from there that's there, but how often do you hear of anybody joining from there? That are actually member that they don't hear. So that's the thing. That's why in the Nam Hatha they have the thing where they go in and have people start chanting one round or like that, one round, then four rounds, then eight rounds, 12 rounds, and then 16. You could say, so what's the point? Why not 16 rounds? Because they won't do. But the point is, if they've connected, then they'll be connected here. All it takes is somebody to walk into the village and say, here I am, so this is what we're going to do, and that's what they do.
You mentioned that last year.
Yeah. Because someone criticized, but the point is they don't know the preaching here. So it's easy to sit, behind a desk, in a city that doesn't sleep, and then what goes on in the villages, you don't know. It's like one time they were saying in Bangladesh, if any Western devotees would come, then, the locals are very much inspired. Like that, I think Westerns are doing okay, maybe it's something, and immediately people go, wow, this is bodily conscious, we don't care what the background is. What are they talking about, It's like that. It says if that was going to be where you go there. It's not that we're saying we're our body, it's just that they see Westerns doing like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that if you're conditioned by your own culture, it's very easy to neglect others. But if it's a matter of that's what will make the preaching work. It means if all you had to do was that, it would be, that would work. Wouldn't that be nice, It's just like, it's just some white people go into a place and start talking about Krishna, and then people want to take it seriously. Just because it doesn't work in their country doesn't mean it doesn't work.
This is how Christianity spread everywhere. These guys just came and everybody was fascinated, and they just took, their idea of supreme as they taught them, and that's it. They didn't think twice.
No. Yeah. So it's just like that. But it's about these social issues and all that. It's kind of like, what's that got to do with? So that means that preaching wouldn't go on nicely because some individuals are attached to their mundane political, positions. But they'll try to present it as if it's Krishna consciousness. So it becomes a difficulty. So it's like you have the sahajya, you have these things. These are impersonalism. Because the point, if you're being personal, these people are like that for right now. So you deal with that and get the effect. What's the problem? But because they're impersonalists, they're polluted by that, then they'll say, no, it has to be like this. Everybody has to be the same. There's no individuality. And that same, of course, has to be certain geographical location and how those people think. But, yeah.
I was just a few days ago was reading the introduction to Damodarastaka by Bhakti Pragyan Keshe Maharaj. I sent it to him also. He knows.
I'm reading it every day.
So in the introduction, and the commentary is by Sanatan Goswami. So in the introduction, then Maharaj explains that what sahajiyas they do, they merge sadaka into siddha. And they say, because we know about siddha, we are siddha.
Yeah.
That's just good enough. So it is actually, you know, very tightly connected, the sahajiya and the mayavada.
Yeah.
Because it's two sides of the same coin, basically.
What
Mayavadis, they claim this,
they're God, and so here I'm the devotee.
Yeah, and then it's just a projection. In my sadhaka, I'm already doing what Siddha is doing. So he actually mentions that these two terms are misunderstood. So if we understand what is sadhaka. And what, you know, what are the function of sadhaka and what is siddha, then no problem, we won't deviate.
Yeah.
But if we try to, then there's a difficulty.
Yes. That's that aspect, is that, but when they talk about being siddha, they're only talking about that the particular activities that they're doing, I can do. You know, the activity like they take bath in Radha Kund, they put on tilak, they wear a small cloth, they chant, you know, many rounds. They'll take that aspect and think I've become siddha. But the point, the mentality that they have, that surrender to Krishna, that everything's for Krishna's pleasure, that is what makes this siddha. Because the secondary forms, the kriya and jnana shaktis, that's what makes everything, that's how everything functions in the cosmos, spiritual and material world. But the difference in the spiritual world is because all that jnana and kriya shaktis are being used just to please the Lord. While in the material world, we're using it just to please ourselves. You know, we don't mind now and again maybe sharing a little bit with God. You know, he gets a candle or something, you know, like that. So, you know, it's like, I have my olive, I squeeze the first drop with great devotion, and God gets that. The rest of it's mine. You know, so... You know, one has to take it. One has to see that it's consistent through. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like that. So these aspects are done in that consideration. But then, why is that done? Because then all get benefit. I've done a good work, therefore I'll get the benefit. So it doesn't have that pure unalloyed aspect. It may be in connection with God, and so it's good. So it can be pure, but it won't be pure unalloyed. That's the thing. So but the externals are going to be the same. You know, you want the best for the Lord, therefore they're giving the best. Otherwise, why only one drop? You know? Because that, you know, it's so full that you just, that first drop, then you know that's going to be good. It's not going to have anything else in it. So you want to give the best, but why do you want to give the best? You know, okay, we want to please God. Why do you want to please God? So he'll be pleased? Or because then I'll get the benefit. Spiritual, but I'll still get the benefit. So that's the liberation part. That's what we're talking about. They said those, because those four means Mayavad, that's thrown out, or that, but the other four, then those are, I'm looking at it, I will be an associate, I will be on the same planet, I will be, have the same bodily kind of features or same kind of occupances. But those are just useful for doing service.
That's what Satyavata Muni says he doesn't want.
Yes. Yes.
Not even the nine processes of devotion.
Yeah, and he benefits from the nine processes. He rejects it twice, actually, the liberation. Twice,
yeah.
in that prayer, which is quite short, actually.
Yeah. Basically, it's just liberation means I'm seeing the spiritual benefit I will get from doing this and the enjoyment that I will get from that benefit. That's liberation. So you see, it has that aspect. It has the knowledge. It has the position, but it's not dynamic, because even you're liberated. Great. Everybody in the spiritual world is liberated, but then you do service. You render service. So that's the aspect that comes in. So it's about that service to please Krishna. Then those situations, that's natural. Like you're going to cook for the deities, you're going to do it in the kitchen. But if you're talking about, wow, I'm in this great kitchen, oh, it's awful, I love being in this kitchen, and like that, but you know, it's not about the Lord, it's just about being in the kitchen. You know, now and again, yeah, I'm cooking for Krishna, but it's about, ooh, I'm in this kitchen. Then the problem comes up is that it's not so much about Krishna as it is about ourselves. Though it's spiritual, it's not material. So that's the whole thing. That's what Lord Chaitanya has given that's never been given before. Right? So that's the whole aspect. And therefore, that's what's special. So pure, unalloyed devotional service has never been given before. You might have pure devotional service. All the acharyas are going to be giving that. You might have with Nimbarka that the spontaneous devotional service is there. Like that. But it's still not pure unalloyed spontaneous devotional service. So it says that, that. Yeah. No, this is very nice. So these are the... This is the kind of depth that is there. This is the important. The other things are, as you are able to engage them nicely, they become useful. So there's basic things that are there. Anybody can engage. Those are used. We're not on. We're not on.
This is coming about low volume.
Low volume. Can you turn up the volume on the phone?
I don't think so. It doesn't matter with the phone volume.
Oh, it doesn't. It's not the microphone. It's just that we're talking less loud than we normally do. We're talking softer. It's a more grave topic.
So Haridas Thakur was placed as the Namacharya.
Yes.
Because he gave the process to attain Vrajabhakti.
Yes.
Through pure chanting.
So he was the example of that.
Yeah, he assisted Lord Chaitanya who came to give that, and he said, yeah, that's how you give it. Yeah. That's how you get it.
Yeah, because he would just chant, and that, then you see, preach wherever it is like that. He'd stick to, you see his preaching. He was a scholar. That's also this nice definition of scholar that this gave.
Yeah, that's interesting, the aspect of Haridas Thakur being a scholar.
Yeah, but you see what he's talking about, his going shastra and all that. Yeah, because if you know it's all about Krishna, then you'll quote all these things and present it all to Krishna. And the point is it's beyond what anybody with an attachment to karma and jnana can understand.
Because he speaks Siddhanta.
Yeah. And so then it works very nice. Yeah, so anyone knows the essence, this first class educated with full knowledge of all Shastra. Because you know all Shastra if you know this.
Mm.
But if you know all the other things and don't know this, then you're a scholar, but you're not actually, you didn't, what have you gained? You know, because in some lifetimes, you know, Brahma knows all that. The Vedas come out of his four mouths. So it's like, you know, he knows a lot of stuff. You know, he has to, all the creation, everything that's going on, he has to do that every day. In his morning, that's, you know, basically his morning sadhana, you know, he meditate on the Lord, but he has to recreate everything as it was the day before. You know. Yeah. Every day. Oh, not again. You know, and then in that there's also, there'll be slight variations. It means the main principle is there, but there'll be flavor. You know, there's a flavor. Just like you see in different ages, that there's different flavors. You know, it's just like what I said, how you say it, the golden age, the 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there, then it was considered, because everyone was so absorbed in, you know, the fascination with the development of technology and how, you know, it's giving them some fruit of they can see all the different things and what you can do, and it's going to be better, and everything's going to be fabulous. So those 10 years had that kind of flavor, and everybody was very euphoric. And that, but then after that, the next 10 years was a different mood. And after that, then it was, you know, then that was kind of, what do you call it? Yeah, so that was kind of lost because you had all the war. And then after that, then everyone went nuts in the 20s. Yeah.
And now you have the virus.
And now you have the virus.
Yeah. That's another flavor.
Yeah, so like that. So you have all these flavors. So each day will have a particular flavor. And so 1,000 cycles of yugas will have a similar flavor. Means you have the main principle, it's always going to be the same every day. But there'll be slight flavor this way and a slight flavor that way. So that means then, you know, what is it, 360 times. So 36,000 slight flavors. And some of them may be repeated because they're really good, so everyone wants to go through that again. You know.
But Krishna coming every day of Brahma,
yeah,
the pastime would be exactly the same, or is it a different flavor?
It's Swayam Krishna, it's always there, but there's always going to be some little difference. So what we're hearing, that's why you hear in Hari Vamsa, there'll be some other aspects,
yes,
or like that, or Nisringa, what is it?
Yes,
That's also Hari Vamsa, isn't it? One of the Nisringa pastimes, which is the one that has that tells all the different Nisringa pastimes. I think Sanatana Goswami compiled.
That's true. Now,
yeah, so it's just like this time he came out of the pillar, killed Hiranyakashipu, then killed the army.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he comes in through the front gate. You know, the big gate. He comes in a monster form, kills the army first, then kills Hiranyakashipu.
Sure.
So it means it's just slightly different. I think in Ramayana, if you have the full Jambavan is sitting there in ecstasy on the side of the ocean, jumping up and down and telling the stories of how, you know, the previous pastimes, how he got to Lanka. And so this is really unique. He's building a floating bridge, you know.
Yes,
but
yes.
Other times they did it in some other way.
Yes,
you know, they would have, it's called buttonholing, whatever. Is it kind of like, does it mean when you take over something? It means the commandeer. They may have commandeered the armada and then, you know, went down, you know, something like that. So there's the main theme is the same. The slight little details will be different. It's just like cooking. You cook, someone who's very experienced, every day they cook, and it's the same principles they're using, the same style, but every time they cook, the preparation will be slightly different. You know? Like that. Very, very subtle. They know, people appreciate, but it's the way it goes. You know, our music, these big musicians, they play, you'll never hear them play exactly the same place. Every time they play it, it'll come out slightly different.
Yeah.
Same theme, same raga, same main ways the notes move, but how they might put it together this way, and then next time they'll put it together that way. So you have unlimited variety, like Radharani, she cooks unlimited. We're talking subtle here. It's not that she's cooked Indian today, okay, that's done, now what are we going to do? You know, they say, well, that's why you have to have pizza, but then that would be out of, okay, we've done that once also, yeah, so now what? What they're talking about is like, the Indian's going to go out, now you have to do pizza every day. It's kind of like, you know, like that's a term, you know, it's like, what are they talking about? If the Indian's gone, this will be gone also, this, you know. Yeah, then one day the falafels.
Pizza every day is a kid's menu, actually.
yes.
That's like perfection.
Yeah, you don't get better than that, yeah. I said pizza and ice cream.
Every day.
Yeah, you can throw in some french fries, you know.
Pasta. You can throw in some pasta.
Huh?
Pasta, sometimes.
Yeah. As long as the pizza's there.
If they can eat it.
I'm saying the kids can eat every day. Adults would want some variety.
I think Bhavananda one time said, if there's no pizza out there, I'm not going back.
Yeah, and then there's the thing. You get there, you find out the pizzeria is there, and every day it's running, but it's in the backyard of Jatila. And Cotila, I mean, they're the ones that, you know, do the pizza, you know. You know, Govardhan Mala is there. And you think, uh-oh. Yeah. So that's a funny thing. We'll put, you know, project. That's aropia. We project it. This is so nice. I could eat this every day. The Indian, they like this. But it's so subtle what you're doing.
As the Indians, they do the opposite aropia. Uh-huh. As the Indians, they will do the opposite aropia. It's always Indian.
Yeah. But you can get more variety like that. I mean, any local cuisine, you can get a lot of variety. Mm-hmm. But still, the Indian, it gets the maximum. Because you know, there's so many spices and how you can combine and like that. But whatever. Yes?
Once a reporter asked Govinda Maharaj, how can you chant the same exact mantra for like 40 years? And he said, yeah, it's the same syllables, but they sound always a little different. So this is the taste. It's in the
sound. Okay, that's interesting. That's far. And he says, I wanted to ask you guys, how is it you journalists always ask the same questions? Oh, how do you do that for 40 years? You know, that might not go down well. Chapter 12, The Loving Dealings Between Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagadananda Pandit. Adhyaya Prakashika. A summary of the 12th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya as follows. This chapter discusses the transformations of ecstatic love that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited day and night. The devotees from Bengal again journeyed to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As usual, the leader was Sivananda Sena, who traveled with his wife and children. Because arrangements were delayed and route, and Lord Nityananda did not have a suitable place to reside, he became somewhat disturbed. Thus he became very angry with Sivananda Sen, who was in charge of the affairs of the party, and kicked him in loving anger. Sivananda Sen felt highly favored to have been kicked by Nityananda Prabhu, but his nephew, Srikanta Sena, became upset and therefore left their company. He met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri before the rest of the party arrived. That year, a devotee named Parameshwara Das Modaka also went with his family to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. The devotees often invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to eat with them. When the Lord bade them all farewell, he talked very pleasingly with them. The year before, Jagannanda Pandit had been sent to Sachimata with prasadam and cloth. This year he returned to Puri with a big pot of floral-scented sandalwood oil to massage the Lord's head. The Lord, however, would not accept the oil. And because of his refusal, Jagannanda Pandit broke the pot in front of him and began to fast. The Lord tried to pacify him and asked Jagannanda Pandit to cook for him. Jagannanda Pandit became so pleased when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his cooking that he broke his fast. It's interesting. Floral-scented sandalwood oil. So it's still sandalwood oil. But nowadays they'll call that this flower, that flower.
Yeah.
So it's just reversed the definition.
Every time I hear this person, I'm trying to figure out the size of the bottle of sandalwood oil, right? It must be... No, I don't think it was a small bottle.
No, I would think it would be... You generally have the
like
pots.
2 liters.
Yeah.
Now, breaking that much sandalwood oil, and this is going to smell for weeks and months.
But... Yeah, but... But the thing is he's that upset that he wouldn't even notice the smell.
I mean, yeah, I've been smelling that for weeks and months, kind of remind him, you got upset.
Yeah, yeah, Lord Chaitanya, especially if it was at Lord Chaitanya's place, then the whole place is there. Yeah, it's interesting. I remember in the 70s, I noted, because I noticed in the temple, it means after Artik, you used to have where, I think during the Nrisinga prayers or something, that little bit of oil was put on in the cotton and offered. Yeah. Then it'd go around, like you said, and everybody get a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Then that little bit. But in the West, you know, I don't know, it just get put on the plate or that. But in India, you take that and roll it up and you stick it in this part of your ear because it'll hold it. Yeah. And so then it was in Calcutta. I can't remember. Some gentleman's place like that. And they had like that in their ear. And I asked him about it. He says it's because it was summer. He says it's cuss because it's cooling. So he says, you put a drop on there and you put it in your ear and the fragrance goes around your head, keeps your head cool. He says, how often do you have to do that? He says, one drop will last a month.
A month.
That was attar then. Now attar will do about 3 days. Like that. But then it was a month. And so you go back even more. Yeah, just the quality of things goes down. This technology seems to improve, but everything else goes down the tube.
Well, it's got to be balanced somehow.
Yeah.
So here's the balance. That's what it is.
Yeah. What
do
they
call
the printers
for
food?
3D
printers.
Print a sandwich.
Yeah, print a sandwich, print your coffee, or whatever.
That must really have no taste.
That's what I'm saying. It's going down. It goes up.
Wow.
So they will bring you some old love.
In Vrindavan, they use kush in the summer. Rub it, maybe one drop, rub it with sugar, and then fill up a bottle.
Yeah.
I remember drinking it.
Yeah. No, it's very far out.
It's amazing.
Fun.
The taste very cool.
Yeah. I even remember seeing the guys in the shops. Because before, it would be like you go in to buy, especially if you're a regular customer, and you go in, they sit you down in summer. They would take the bottle and they have those fine straws, so they put it in and get it dropped, and then put it in the glass and then put the water in and give you. Like that. So,
cold limbs.
Yeah, well, that's now, because they're a lot
cheaper. Now they don't bring anything.
Now they don't bring anything. You have to bring your own. Well, now you can come in, and then, as you're sitting down talking to them, open your bottle, start drinking, and that. Yeah, that's good.
Only on Wi-Fi, that's it.
The Wi-Fi is free. Okay. Okay, so I guess we'll... Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada ki jai.